Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Kings. Those of you that are guests know that we do our, during this series, we're doing most of our worship set at the end of the service. So some of you are wondering, they're only singing one song. We're going to be singing at the end of the service. I think it's good as we do this, allowing the scripture to inform our lives so that when we come in to worship, really that's the purpose of preaching, that we would be better worshipers, not just in our singing, but also in our lives, that we would honor Jesus in every way. So 1 Kings chapter 2, I want to invite you to take that out, and if you don't have a Bible, you can just listen in. But we're going through this series called Worship, Lessons from the Life of David. And today is actually our last Sunday in this series. I'm going to be doing a standalone sermon next week as God has been speaking to my heart and preparing my heart. I believe that the Lord really has a word that he wants to share to this church and to all of us. So I'm going to just invite you out next Sunday. Of course, I'll be sharing tonight from God's word as well. But starting in a couple weeks, we'll be going into our Advent series. So we're looking forward to that. 1 Kings chapter 2, thank you, Amy. The kids, as far as being dismissed, we are not having 1st through 5th grade here today because a number of the teachers are unable to make it here today. So the kids, if that's just to give parents a little heads up, the kids are welcome to stay in here 1st through 5th grade, but anything lower than 1st grade, they are dismissed to go at this time for nursery and other things. So I'm thankful that you mentioned that. So one thing to mention there. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your son pays close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all of their heart and with all of their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." Let's bow our heads and pray as we seek the Lord during this time. God, we want to thank you for this day that we can come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for the breath you give us. We thank you for life. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, yes, there are challenges, yes, there are difficulties, but Jesus, we take comfort in the fact that you have overcome the world, and we can find our hope and our security and our rest in you. Lord, I pray that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would draw us to Jesus today, and make us the kind of men and women you intend us to be, that we would be worshipers of you and honor you in every sphere of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of my favorite things to do in my spare time is to read biographies. I love to read. To me, there's nothing more just kind of soothing and just homey for me to kind of sit in maybe with snow going on outside in a nice warm house. And next, I'm dreaming now with a fireplace because we don't have a fireplace, but having a fire going and just reading a nice book. To me, that it was some light music going on. That's just the amazing mood that I love. But I love reading biographies, and I love reading biographies of presidents or politicians or actors, inventors, sports figures. I just love learning the story of people's lives. I just love seeing what made them tick, what were their challenges, what were their good things that we remember them about. I just love reading the story about people's lives. And actually, currently, I'm reading a story or reading a biography about the Kellogg brothers in Battle Creek, Michigan. One was actually a successful doctor and began a health clinic But the other was the famous inventor of the cornflakes and breakfast cereals. And I love cereals too. Amy will attest to this. I could live on cereals. I thought maybe someday of opening a restaurant called the Cereal Barn. You know, having 100 cereals. I don't know if that's going to fly. But I just love cereal and eating it in the morning and any time of the day. So I thought, boy, this would be interesting. I pick up the book at the library. So I'm reading it on the Kellogg brothers. And what I learned about these two brothers is they were successful in their own ways. One was a doctor, as I mentioned. He started a sanitarium back around the turn of the last century in Battle Creek and had a hospital that was going on. And the other brother, of course, the cereal inventor. But one thing I did discover about these two brothers is that they had a big problem. Their big problem was they couldn't get along. They were terribly jealous of one another. There was a bitter family feud that lasted for decades in their lives. In fact, they never solved it before the older brother had passed away. And there was just lawsuits going all over the place. There was just endless disputes between these two brothers that were very successful in every other area of their lives. And while they did do many good things that perhaps we remember them by as we enjoy our Frosted Flakes in the morning or whatever, it's not a good breakfast, by the way, their legacy was troubled with war with one another. They were just at each other's throats. They didn't talk to each other. It was terrible. And really, it's interesting, as I read their biography and the biographies of so many other people, the question I have is, if someone could read the biography of your life after you're gone, what would they discover about you? What would they discover about how you lived your life? In other words, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want people to look at your life, thinking about your kids or your grandkids or coworkers or other people? What do you want people to remember about your life? Maybe you want somebody to remember that you were maybe a popular person, or maybe you were successful in your business. I know a lot of people want to be remembered that way. Some want to be remembered as being smart or intelligent, maybe somebody who was fun to be around or had a good sense of humor. Maybe some of us would want to be remembered that we were gifted or articulate in what we did or what we said. Maybe a lot of us, I would hope a lot of us, would say, well, they were a good family person. I mean, there's nothing essentially wrong in those things. But the question is, what is most important in our lives? What are we living for, and what do we want people to remember about us? And it's interesting, as we learn from the life of David, as we've examined his story over the last number of months, that we've learned some lessons about David, and we learn, most importantly, that he was a man after God's own heart. Now, certainly he had his ups and he had his downs, he had his difficulties, he had his good times, but he was a worshiper of God through it all. And if we remember kind of the whole of his story, we see kind of the biography of his life. Actually, that's what we've been doing over the last number of weeks, is reading the biography kind of in an abbreviated fashion with David. And we see all the things about his life, and yet we see that he still was a worshiper of God. And today I want to talk, as we kind of look at the final chapters of David's story, I want to talk about leaving a legacy of worship in our lives. Because if God intends us to be the kind of worshipers that he wants us to be, he wants us to not only be worshipers of ourselves, but to also leave a legacy for other people to follow as we live our lives in obedience to God, leaving a legacy of worship. You know, we need to live in such a way that people will remember us as a person who loved to honor and obey God. As much as people desire to be successful or popular, maybe you have no desire to be successful or popular. I don't know what your desires are, but the critical thing for believers in Jesus Christ is that we want our legacy to be one that honors God and loves people. We want to love Jesus and make his love known, which is the mission statement here at Clay House. You know, frankly, we carve our name on hearts, not on tombstones. That we carve our name on the hearts of people, and our legacy is etched into the minds of others who tell stories and are going to share stories about us even after we're gone. The question we have to ask ourselves is, will our legacy that we leave point people to Jesus? That's really the fundamental question we need to ask. And we can't be true worshipers of God if that's not the true desire of our heart. That we want to be Christ-focused, Jesus-honoring, that we exalt Him in everything. David said in Psalm 112, 1 and 2, he said, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." Another way of saying it is, blessed is a person who worships God, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. David was concerned about legacy. He was concerned about living in the life of God and being a blessing to future generations. And I will say this, you and I will never be a true blessing the way God intends us to be if we are not leaving a legacy of worship to God in our lives. We might be able to give people a lot of money at the end of our lives. We might be very popular and have our name splashed across the newspapers. But if your life is not oriented around God, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Really, all that means nothing if we aren't oriented around God and worshiping Him. So again, let's look to David's life and learn from his story once again about how we can be worshipers of God and leave that legacy in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces. And so we come to this place. Remember last week, David had a moral failure with Bathsheba, and we talked about how he came clean with God through his final repentance after about a year living in secrecy. And Nathan had confronted him, and David repented. Now, David certainly had to deal with the consequences of his sinful action, but God certainly did forgive him. But it's interesting, nearly 20 years had passed since that tragic episode to where we find ourselves here today. And David is about 70 years old at this time before he dies. Which would, you know, today, the age expectancy is older than it was back then. Actually, to be 70 years old was quite old for his day. But as we see in this story, at the end of his life, David is actually quite worn out. Some of us are thinking, well, I'm about 30 or 40 years old and I feel worn out. But here's a guy that is at the end of his life, he's worn out. These last 20 years have been anything but tranquil. They have been anything but good. He's still king. People still dearly love him as the leader of the nation of Israel. And the nation had experienced unprecedented growth and expansion. And the worship of God was now prevalent. A lot of good things were happening in the land. But David's family was being torn apart by strife and by conflict. Can anybody identify with that? I know a lot of times with coming into Thanksgiving, coming into Christmas time, you know, there's a time for some people, oh, I just love this season. It's a time where we just love getting together as a family. Others of us are like, just get me through this season. I can't put up with my family member. I can't deal with the situation that's going on. And there's a lot of people that really come into the season with dread because of all the conflicts that are going on and the family dynamics that are in play. And there's a lot of anxiety that can happen in our families. And David had known this anxiety for the last number of years. And David actually had experienced a gut-wrenching revolt by his son Absalom. And his son eventually died. This was during that 20-year span after his own failure. And that his son's death just tore him to pieces, as any parent would have if they lost a child. But through it all, David trusted God, and he actually, through these experiences in his life, through those tragedies and through those difficulties and sinful episodes in his life, David appeared to have a little bit more of a softer edge to him. He appeared to be a bit more humble as he went throughout everything. He had a different approach to life in his final years. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, where we read this morning, we see that strife continuing in his life. And it's interesting, even though God had appointed David's son Solomon to be the next king of Israel, and the family all knew it, David's oldest son, Adonijah, revolted against his brother being king, particularly his younger brother, and it would have been his stepbrother, and he tried to claim the throne for himself. And so there was this tension that was going on in the family. And David, as being 70 years old, he's just like, I'm tired of this. But it's interesting, some of these episodes were the result of his own failure in his own life. What's also tragic about this situation, that this son Adonijah wanted to become king himself rather than Solomon, is that David's old commander Joab turned into a traitor and sided with Adonijah as well. So there's a lot of conflicts that are going on not only in the family, but a lot of moving pieces and parts that are going on outside of his family as well. And so in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 11 through 27, Nathan and Bathsheba plead, Bathsheba would have been Solomon's mother, plead with David to do something. And this stirred kind of the old lion's spirit. This stirred David's heart. And so he decided to make an official proclamation and have Solomon recognized by all of Israel as the next true king. And so he wanted to kind of put an end to this strife and this arguing and bickering. He wanted to get it all set up straight. He's like, look, let's make it official. Let's splash it across the headlines here. Let's make a public announcement. Solomon is the next king of Israel. And Solomon would have been probably about 17, 18 years old. After all, when David had his failure, they lost their son. Solomon was the next one that was born. So he would have been about 17, 18 years old at this time. And so it's interesting, as he makes this announcement, we see in verses 28 through 53 of chapter 1 that Solomon is anointed as the next king of Israel, and essentially Adonijah is put in his place, the other brother, for trying to revolt and try to usurp the throne for himself. And so David has just gone through a lot of trauma in his life. He's worn out. He's tired. And as we see this story unfold, David is beginning to recognize that the sand in his hourglass was running kind of low. And so he gives Solomon some counsel. And Solomon is, as I mentioned, probably 17, 18 years old, an older teenager. And once again, let me read, I'm not going to read verses 1 through 4 once again, but basically there are three things that David tells Solomon, he charges him with, the counsel that he gives with in this passage. First of all, he says, I want you to know the Lord. You need to know the Lord, Solomon. If you're going to be a king, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to follow what God wants, you need to know the Lord and know that it is difficult to lead a nation, but draw close to God. Again, as David is trying to leave this legacy of worship to God, he's giving Solomon these final words. The second thing, not only is he commanding him to know the Lord, he's commanding him and charging him to serve the Lord. Do it with a sincere heart and a willing mind. Be willing to keep the laws of God. Be willing to follow in His precepts. Be willing to not only know the Lord, but to serve the Lord. Ken, if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, this is another passage of Scripture that relates this charge that David gives to Solomon.
And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve Him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as His sanctuary. Be strong and do the work.
So again, David is giving this charge to his son. He's recognizing that he's coming to the end of his life. He's trying to build into his son, recognizing he's still got a lot of learning to do. But he's saying, be pure in heart. You know, seek God above everything else. Serve the Lord. So in other words, he says, know God, know the Lord. Number two, he's saying, serve the Lord. And number three, seek the Lord. Be willing to make God the number one desire of your heart. Because if you seek Him, He will let you find Him, but if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. And again, David was operating in what was known as the Deuteronomic principle, which basically says if you obey God, you'll be blessed. If you disobey God, you'll be cursed. And a lot of people in the Old Testament, most of the understanding was in that in the Old Testament. But the reality was is that God's saying, look, if you follow my ways, there's going to be blessing as a result of that. But if you disobey, there's going to be consequences as a result of your failure morally. So know the Lord, serve the Lord, and seek the Lord were the three kind of generalized ways in which David was commanding his son Solomon to lead. And so basically he's saying, I want you to be a worshiper of God. Know, serve, and seek the Lord, and be a worshiper of God. Let your leadership and your lifestyle, Solomon, speak forth praises to God. And David, as you look at his life, even though he wasn't a perfect example by any means, he did set for his son an example of what it means to worship God. You remember, as we look at the Psalms, those were actually written to music, or at least a lot of them. And David was a musician and an artist. Not only was he a warrior, but he learned to worship his God, and he expressed it to God. And Solomon witnessed this in his father. You know, Solomon certainly knew his father's faults. After all, Bathsheba was his mother. But Solomon saw David's humble heart through it all. In these last 20 years that David had experienced, Solomon saw that brokenness in him. And I just want to say this and pause at this moment. Parents and grandparents, one of the greatest gifts that you can bestow on others is a good example. One of the greatest things that you can give to your kids is a good example. And even when you make a mistake, you own up to it. You repent and you walk humbly. All of us have failed. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the truth is, your kids and your grandkids need to see humility in you, that you're willing to own up to areas where you failed in your own life. And David was willing to do this. You know, certainly children need strength to lean on, and they need you to have a shoulder to cry on, but they also need an example in you to learn from, whether good or bad. You know, some of us have made some bad mistakes in our lives, and we can sit down with our kids and say, you know what, I made a mistake, I've learned from it, don't do as I did, because it'll spare you a lot of heartache. But I will say it is extremely difficult for a child to live right when they've never seen somebody live right before them. Kids need an example. And not only kids need an example, we as adults need examples, don't we? We need people that are willing to lead the way and to shepherd us and to give godly counsel for us, that would be able to be a light that we can kind of glean from, that we can, you know, that we can just learn from their life and their example. And I want to just encourage you, even no matter what age you are, to try to seek out some godly mentors in your life that would be an influence in you. I would encourage you, strongly encourage you, same gender, for just moral reasons, and but the idea is that we need to seek out people that will be a godly influence on us. And if God has put us into a position of leadership in various capacities, that we pray that God would give us the grace to be an example. Let your life be an open book, because there's some things and some lessons that you've learned in your life that other people need to learn from. Think about that as you think about leaving a legacy of worship in your life. Because an example is a language that every person can read. It's true. So if you and I want to leave a legacy of worship before God, be a worshiper of God yourself. And when you make a mistake, own up to it. Know the Lord, serve the Lord, and seek the Lord. Here's an old French proverb. Says, nothing is more contagious than a bad example. And that's the truth. You know, when my kids, before they were born, I would just spend some time in prayer and just say, God, how should I pray for each of my kids before they're born here? And it's interesting, is before each one of them was born, I just sensed from the Holy Spirit a certain direction to pray for each of them. But the bottom line that I want for all of my kids is that they be worshipers of Jesus. And I remember as I was praying this over one of my kids and just seeking the Lord and just praying and saying, Lord, help them to be a worshiper of you. I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to my own heart and say, Tim, if you want them to be a worshiper of me, you lead by example. Teach them to be a worshiper of me. Friends, we need to be examples to other people. We need to lead by example. We want our kids, we want our grandkids, we want our neighbors, we want our coworkers to be worshipers of Jesus, but we need to let our light shine before all people, before all men. You know, people are guided to worship God more by footprints than by guideposts. That we lead the way, and we lead the way for others to follow. And it's interesting, as you look at David's life, though he was a flawed man in many ways, he led by the footprints of his life. And not only was Solomon blessed as a result, not only is the whole nation of Israel blessed as a result, but we too can learn from David's life and his example as well. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul knew the power of a godly example. Ken, if you read Philippians 4:9, listen to what he says here.
Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
So Paul, as he's charging the churches, he's saying, look, I've been setting for you an example. I'm trying to show you the way, and I want to say that this needs to be our hearts as well. I don't care how young or old you are here today, we need to be a godly example. Kids and young people, I want you to hear me well. This is not something just that your grandma or your mom and dad needs to hear. You need to be an example in your schools as well. You need to be examples, whatever age you're at, to the other people that are around you. Being an example is not just for parents to do. Kids, you can be an example too. And I will say this, there have been many times I've learned from my own kids about my own shortcomings in areas where I've fallen short. And I know a lot of us as parents would attest to that reality as well. We can learn a lot from kids. We can learn from their example as well. But you can never start a legacy of worship in your life too soon. And I want to just encourage whatever age you're at that you consider this. You know, we've learned over the last number of weeks that worship is not just an event. It's not just something that we go to. It's first of all an entry. As we sing, as we praise God, we come into the presence of the Lord. But worship is also a lifestyle. Worship is a way in which we live our lives, the attitudes by which we have each and how we respond to difficult situations. A.W. Tozer said, no worship is wholly pleasing to God until there is nothing in us that is displeasing to God. Let me say that again because I think that's a powerful statement. No worship is wholly pleasing to God until there is nothing in us that is displeasing to God. David says himself, he says, who may ascend the holy hill of the Lord except he who has clean hands and a pure heart? Now, all of us will recognize we're all in process. We all stumble and fall short in many ways. But, you know, friends, God is calling us to holiness. And that's an intimidating word for a lot of us because we think, oh, man, I'm just not perfect. I want to say it's God's grace and his work within us. And that we don't have to sin because the power of sin has been broken in Jesus' name, amen? And as a result of that, we can live in the freedom of Christ. Not the freedom to do what we want and sin, but the freedom to live in the law of love. To live in the law of Christ and to do what pleases Him. You know, life is short. Whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 40, 70, 100. You know, my grandmother is 94. She just found out this past Friday they had to do an emergency surgery. I guess her stomach had twisted like a pretzel, and the doctors were saying she might die. And they did the surgery. She came out. It was just amazing. And she's still going strong. Praise God. God's doing great things, even at a 94-year-old. She's lived a long time. I don't know how long God will give every one of us to live. But the truth is, compared to eternity, life is but a breath. You know, there's a story of a doctor who was giving a prognosis to one of his patients, and he told his patient, he said, well, I have some bad news, and I have some really bad news for you. Patient's like, oh boy, I don't know if I want to hear this. What's the bad news? And the doctor said, well, the bad news is you only got 24 hours to live. And the guy just stood there stunned. He sat down. He's like, oh, 24 hours. This is bad news. I mean, what can be worse than this? Doctor, what's the really bad news? The doctor said, well, the really bad news is I should have called you yesterday. You know, there's a sense where we don't know how long we're going to live. There's a sense where we just don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know that. But we do know who holds tomorrow, don't we? We do know the one who is holding all of our tomorrows. And we learned from David's example, even in his final counsel to his son Solomon, that the aim of our lives must be to glorify and to worship and to obey God. To know the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to seek the Lord. And David, in all of his ups and downs throughout his life, gave us the book of Psalms, and it's the collection of his worship songs, kind of his greatest hits, as he's writing this. I love what he says in Psalm 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, we've learned a lot of different valuable lessons from David. We've seen, for example, as he's dealing with King Saul years ago, that he must demonstrate integrity. Even when he desired to, when he knew that he was going to be anointed as king, David still did not try to take over King Saul's role. And he showed integrity in his life. We see as he dealt with Goliath that he had confidence in God. We see even in his sin with Bathsheba that he was humble enough to admit his mistakes. We see in, as he delights to be in God's house and among God's people that he has this friendship with God and this desire to just worship in his God's holy place. We see as he's dealing with Solomon that he desires to exhort and to invest in the next generation. And even as he's encouraged Solomon, as God has charged him to build this tabernacle or to build the temple, David is getting all the materials in place. We've learned from David that our worship must be spirit-filled, that we could have a desire to see God work and move in power. And it's interesting, as David regularly sought God for answers, God showed up and revealed himself to him. We've seen David expressing his worship to God as he danced and he lifted up his hands. He was uninhibited in his praises to God. Even as he played music and wrote songs, he learned how to express his love to God. And even in his own dreams, in his own desires, even when God said no, David still found a way to delight in God. And in the end, at verses 10 through 12 of chapter 2 in 1 Kings, it says, then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. In other words, his legacy was in place. God had done a work in David's life, and God had done something marvelous, and that legacy would carry on, and ultimately we see Christ as being the complete fulfillment of God's covenant with David, that throne would last forever. You know, all of us, as we think about the biographies of our lives, if we think about the stories of our lives, you know, we a lot of us, particularly if you're getting older, you want to see that what you've learned gets passed down or passed on to someone else. But I will say this, as much as it's nice to try to think about budgets and retirement and what we can pass along to our wills, and we need to be mindful of those realities, the greatest investment, the greatest treasure that you can bestow on other people is a heart that is truly sold out to Jesus. And if you're sold out to Jesus, people will see that. If you've let your light shine before your family, if you've let your light shine at your work, as you've let your light shine in your neighborhood and all the relationships, that they would see a legacy of worship. And all of us, if we're honest, we've all failed and fallen short in many, many different ways. But as I said, if people will recognize, and that's one of the things, the beauty of what I like about reading about King David, is that you see his ups and his downs. But you see, the common thread through it all was his worship of God. And rather than sometimes hiding the areas of our life that are painful, could it be that if God would heal that very area, that open door would become a blessing to future generations? If we allow God to heal us. And that we would let the Holy Spirit guide us and use us. David left a legacy of worship for his family, his descendants, his people, and even us. But what will your legacy be? You know, if somebody heard the story of your life, or as I mentioned, read your biography, if it were ever written, would they see an unforgiving person? Would they hear about the story of a person with a bad temper and that died with that bad temper? Would they hear about a person who was proud or couldn't admit that they were wrong? Would they read about a person who made poor decisions, who always made excuses for those decisions? Or would they read about a person who was never happy and always complaining about their jobs, always complaining about their neighborhood, always complaining about their family? Or would they read about a person who loved Jesus? A person who went through some tough times, but always looked up and always learned to trust in God? Would they read about a person who was completely surrendered to Jesus and sought to obey him? Would they read about a person who was humble enough to admit their mistakes and then do the right thing? Would they read about a person who sought God, made time for church, invested in missions? Would they read about a person who learned to sit at the feet of Jesus? I was tempted to share the story of Mary and Martha. I guess I am right now. But, you know, I'm doing it. I gave in to the temptation. You know, it's possible to get caught up in the work of the Lord and miss the Lord of the work. You know, you can invest your life in ministry and do a lot of good things for a lot of people. But you know, there's something that always stands out when you're around a person that you know that they've sat at the feet of Jesus, isn't it? There's just a depth that you see in a person that loves to get in the presence of God and worship Him. And God wants us to go into the harvest field. God desires that we do those things. But we're worshipers first and workers second. And our work, if it is not inspired by worship, is not pleasing to God. Could it be that as we think and as we examine the final chapter of David's life, and as you think about maybe the final chapters of your life, and I don't know what if your final chapter is today or 20 years from now or 40 years from now or longer, but will you leave a legacy of worship? Kids, young people, will other people see in your schools and in your neighborhood that you love Jesus? And when God does that work in our hearts, we will leave that legacy of honor to Jesus. Being a worshiper of God means that we do leave that legacy for others to follow. I love what Matthew Prior said. He said, "Live to explain thy doctrine by thy life." You know, some people will never open a Bible, but they're reading you every day. Be an example. Let the light of Jesus shine through you. You know, as we begin this week of Thanksgiving and we talk about leaving this legacy of worship in our lives, I want to just encourage you to be a praiser and a thanker of God this week. You know, a lot of times we just kind of go through the routine. I will say it's sad to see that as much as I love Christmas, Thanksgiving kind of gets swallowed up in the stores and all this. But we need to take some time to thank God this week. And I want to just encourage you to chisel out some time to do just that and say, God, how can I leave a legacy of worship of God in my life? You know, we're going to close with worship. If you'll stand your feet, let's pray that God would work and move in our lives, that He would be honored and praised in everything. Let's sing together.